out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 467. This is the Big Janice edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. This is the first episode in the year of 2011. It's a pretty big number there, so keeps getting bigger every time you look at it. We have a lot of really fun stuff to talk to you about today. None more fun than the return of of the Caffeination Birthday Spectacular. That is, 5 years ago on January 9th, 2006, I actually published the first episode of Caffeination, Caffeination 001. It was a 15-minute long show in which I had a very wooden delivery where I was, I'm still not proud of that show, but you know what, that kind of, after that, it was kind of like, you know what, if I can do this, I can get it out there, and I can continue trying to do it, get a little bit better at every show, I'm eventually going to get to the point where I can actually listen to myself talk. I can't listen to the first episodes. They're horrible, and there's actually some naughty words up to episode number 18. I'm not taking them down because it wasn't part of the TPN network at that point, but we are now, ever since episode number 018, we have been a member of the Tech Podcast Network, and if you are listening to this show, then you are listening to the fine folks over at TPN's, I think, the longest tenured food-related tech show in their network anyway. I think I'm the only food-related tech show, because we kind of do a whole bunch of different stuff. But if you're looking for this show in particular, we are lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com. We are the high-octane world of caffeine culture and technology news. We used to also have PodSafe Music. Believe it or not, I originally started doing this show because I wanted to be a DJ. Didn't turn out quite so well. The whole world of music licensing didn't end up being too kind, and it took too long to actually find good content to keep giving you different stuff every time. It was fun while it lasted, but I'm kind of happy with the direction this show has taken ever since. But, I think the last episode where we played music in with some kind of regularity was around episode 87, maybe episode 200. I'm not, somewhere around there. It's all blending together. We're approaching episode 500. Just a couple little fun things. Janus, the Roman god of looking backwards and forwards at the same time. He's also the god of gates, doorways, new beginnings, everything you could want to possibly see. He's also the origin for the word January, being the start of the new year. And we thought, since, you know, it's the start of the new year and I accidentally started a show during CES, I've never really been all up in on the CES thing. The Consumer Electronics Show happens every year, and it's always huge, it's always big, it's always awesome, there's a lot of really fun stuff, and I always feel that it overshadows the fact that I've been doing the show for so long. If I had picked a better birthday for the show, maybe that wouldn't have happened. But you know what? I'm letting all the big tech blogs and all the people who are there do all the talking. We have so much other fun stuff that we're going to talk about. I'm going to be doing basically a rewind of the show from the past year, different things that you may have missed or different stuff that I just want to pull out of the hat and showcase for the rest of the world. If you are looking for awesome CES-related content, you can head on over to techpodcastnetwork.com or tpn.tv. All the fine folks who are in the know within the TPN, the Tech Podcast Network, have headed over there, and from everything that I've seen from the past years that they're doing it, Todd Cochran, Andy McCaskey, and Jeffrey Powers are the three headliners this year, and I'm not sure if anybody else went with them. I'm very sorry if I happen to miss your name, but it's all over there. You can all head on over there and check it out. I'm going to be putting a little banner up there so you can make sure to head on over there for the best impossible CES-related coverage. We have a little bit of stuff in the Geek Cruft section, a huge Caffeination Rewind section. Then we're going to dive on into two little bits of food and caffeinated bits and head you out along your merry way. I would like to make mention, though, that for the anniversary of the first Caffeination podcast on January 9th, we are going to be starting a giveaway contest. We are going to be giving away one of the products that I'm going to be talking about a little bit later on in the show. So we're going to be giving away a Tassimo T20 BrewBot. Yes, that is correct. You get your very own single-serving coffee maker if you listen in and you follow the directions that are going to be published out. I'm going to remind you so you don't have to worry about it. I'm going to do what I learned from the past couple contests I've run. We're not going to try and make it too complicated or everything. I'm actually going to write a post explaining everything in nice, simple, short words and everything to make sure that everybody gets counted in. Unfortunately, there were a couple entries that weren't counted for the last contest that we did, so we have a new one. We're going to put it out there. It's going to come out on the birthday, and we're going to give it 2 weeks to run, and then we're pulling it and giving the lucky winner their Tassimo. So there you go, and here you are. All right, we have a bunch of awesome stuff to talk about. the first thing that we have here, besides talking about TPN TV, which I did, we have a holiday backlog. Two little stories that I wanted to share with you. I just didn't get the chance to actually head on out and show you. The first thing is a very zombie holiday. It's a kind of a fun light spoof that is in black and white. It's kind of a campy film noir kind of vibe. It's basically how to tell the difference between party guests at your holiday party who may have had a little bit too much alcohol and actual zombies, and also how you can deal with those zombies. It's kind of done in a 1950s aesthetic, but it's really odd, but really kind of catchy and cool all at the same time, so I wanted to share that with the group. That one was posted over at laughingsquid.com, a very, very cool website. And the other one that we actually found was called Operation Chimney Sweep. It's from santaslittlesecretservice.org. This is a crazy, crazy little organization. Apparently, whenever there's Santa cons or anything else like this, the way that it's actually described, Santa Claus prides himself on his ability to move freely about the world to undertake Christmas operations. The most visible symbol of Santa Claus's mobility is Sleigh 1, his highly advanced personal transport. So it's only fitting that Santa decided to bring Sleigh 1 to San Francisco's SantaCon, now in its 17th year of Santarchy. So it's kind of funny, and it's a whole bunch of people who dress up in like pseudo-military garb, and they're basically the Secret Service for Santa. So if you've ever seen the ABC special Prep and Landing, where it was tiny little elves that actually prepped each landing spot for where Santa was going to land, this is kind of like that, but hardcore, and actually people who roll out in like elf costumes with little rosy cheeks and the funny little wire going into the rear, and it's just really cool. It's a really kind of interesting overall thing, and they have nutcracker regiments, the soldiers, the sugar plums fairy service, and people are detonating all kinds of jack-in-the-boxes and things like that. It's kind of fun, it's kind of late, and I'm really sorry, but I wanted to just share that with you because I thought it was that awesome. All right, the next one we have is from ilovecharts.tumblr.com. This is a really, really cool thing. It's called Physics, and what they're talking about is a sci-fi chart, a sci-fi film checklist chart, where they're talking about the things that they got right and the things that they got wrong. It's bad science in movies, basically. The movies that they have listed are 2001, A Space Odyssey, Contact, Space Cowboys, Armageddon, The Black Hole, the 1979 version, Deep Impact, Mission to Mars, Serenity, Solaris, 1972, Stargate, Sunshine, 2007, I believe, Alien movies, Moonraker, Enemy Mine, The Last Starfighter, Star Wars movies, Apollo 13, and The Right Stuff. Apollo 13 and The Right Stuff actually got a clean bill of accuracy for how they handled space. So the funny thing is that I would love to see movie like this kind of chart for movies for archaeology. Anytime they talk about anytime you see them talking about science of the past, or anytime you see people walking with dinosaurs or goofy stuff like that, they need to have a big red flag thrown up. So maybe, you know, if I ever get a free moment or two, I'll actually write out all the movies that I know are completely and blatantly wrong. Now, it's not saying that they're not enjoyable. It's just saying they're bad science and they need to be flagged as such. So we have that there. All right. The next little thing we have in here is actually sent in by one of our listeners, Mass, the gentleman who runs ineedcoffee.com, and it's not a coffee-related post, believe it or not. It's elementary, my dear Watson. Jeopardy playing machine to tangle with meatbags. That is, it's a machine named Watson, which was programmed by IBM, is actually going to be going on Jeopardy and taking on the two reigning all-time champions. The people that it has listed are Ken Jennings and Brad Rutter. Ken Jennings has the longest streak of wins in a row. That's 74 games. games in a row in the 2004-2005 season, and Brad Rutter, who has the highest cumulative amount ever won by a single Jeopardy player. That's $255,102. That's just a mouthful to say it. So this is going to be really cool. Basically, the top prize gets $1 million, the second prize gets $300,000, the third prize gets $200,000. The humans are going to split theirs with charity, and IBM is going to give the entirety of their winnings to the charity. The cool thing about this, and I thought it's really not fair to have a computer in a trivia contest, and then I realized Jeopardy this is going to be a natural speak game. This is going to be where, you know, Alex Trebek's up there, he reads the question, and I assume there's going to be some kind of optical recognition where the machine would actually be able to see the question. It has to recognize puns, it has to recognize bad jokes, it has to recognize themes amongst things, and, you know, off-sounding words. I think the category selection is going to be very, very important to everything that this is, but it's really going to be cool to see if the machine can actually do well. So I'm trying to find, I had up there the actual time when this is actually going to happen, but they said, okay, it's going to air February 14th, 15th, and 16th, 2011. So it's a three-part match, two matches being played over three consecutive days. That's just going to be all kinds of cool. Can't wait to see, and thank you very much, Mass, for sending that in. All right, in the Caffeination Rewind, here you go, and there we are. This has been a very productive year. I cannot thank each and every single one of you enough for continuing to come back, for sticking with me through all of the trials and tribulations. It's usually, if you listen to any of the episodes, we have 101, 202, 303, and 404. That's how it went. And it was going to be 505. I swear it was. It was going to be very close to doing 500 episodes in 5 years. And then I had a wonderful little addition to the family. Baby Amber Elizabeth Muller was born on July 12th, 2010. And the productivity directly went into the toilet between having a kid who now didn't sleep again and everything else. But I gotta say that the absolute most important episode of the year was when I got to do my favorite thing as a podcasting father, and that is announce the birth of my lovely baby girl on the airwaves of the Caffeination. So if you want to listen to the actual deal, you can head on back to Caffeination number 442, labeled Arrival, and the first picture ever posted of her online and all that. She is a wonderful addition to our family. She's growing an insanely awesome and pleasant personality. She is so completely different from my son that it is unbelievable. And the funny thing is, you know, I don't like to gush about family and other goofy stuff on the show because you're here for awesome content. But yeah, this is a rewind episode. The funny thing is that for Paul, he went to sleep and slept through the night by 3 months old. And, you know, when teething and all that other stuff, he would wake up. But Amber still has not slept through the night once. And she's going on 6 months old in about a week. So it's kind of funny that this has happened. But hey, you know what? Oh, well. It's all right. The next little article I wanted to direct your attention to is the Mafia 2 review. Now, it's been a long time since I had actually done an actual video game review. I had done a couple of them, and this is the first time I've ever actually been contacted by a video game company. 2K Games actually contacted me and asked me to review. They provided the review copy, and it was just such an awesome experience and just such an interesting undertaking, and I was really happy to be able to duplicate it when I got a chance to review the NBA 2K11. So hopefully there'll be more video game reviews in the future. I have a whole bunch of video games that I actually got for Christmas, so I'm going to be working with some other people, believe it or not. That's one of the surprises for the next year of Caffeination, as we have other people who are either going to, if I can drag them out on here on a Wednesday or a Sunday night, I'm going to drag other people onto the Caffeination itself just for, you know, spot things. We're going to have a correspondence, if you will. And we're going to have other people writing articles, so if you'd like to get in on that, hey, just drop me a line, Caffeination, or paul@caffeination.com for that. But I was so enamored of the process for Mafia 2, and the game itself was really cool as well. Another thing that happened this past year was that we actually had our graphic art store go up. The posters that I've been doing for the past PodCamp Phillies have always been well received, but I never was really sure how people would enjoy them, whether or not they were actually saying nice things, or if they would actually, you know, if this was something that they would really wanted. And there was such a positive outpouring at PodCamp that I opened up the store. So If you would like any of these prints or anything, you can head on over to puzzlebox.deviantart.com/store. I'm just going to try and troubleshoot. It used to just be shop.caffeination.com, or maybe it's store.caffeination.com. Let me just see that. I should probably edit this out, but yeah, if you go to store.caffeination.com, then you can go direct to the website. That's silly me. I was sitting there for 20 minutes going, why isn't it work? Shop.caff, and it just it never dawned on me that perhaps, just perhaps, I had relabeled it wrong. So the store.caffeination.com takes you right over to my puzzlebox.deviantart.com store. We're going to be doing a couple different things with merchandising in the next year. Hopefully going to be actually getting good shirts out there so that people can get them if they would like. They're not going to be like, you know, Caffeination podcast specific, but they're going to be Caffeination designed. They're going to be the coffee addict in all of us, hopefully on a t-shirt or a crew neck, whatever. It doesn't matter. But these are things that I'd like to try and do. We'll see if it actually happens. The next little thing that we actually did was, would you like to, or why should you attend a PodCamp? It's a question that people have been asking me for, I'd say years, ever since I attended my first PodCamp in 2007, the first PodCamp Philly. I became an organizer for PodCamp 2008 and 2009 and 2010, and every year I've learned a little bit more about what it takes to actually organize these large-scale events, and I've done different things every year, but I, you know, so far I've only been responsible for the not only, but I've been responsible for most of the physical plant stuff because I actually work where we're having the PodCamp. But it's just such a cool place to meet and reach out to other people who are exactly as bat poo crazy about podcasting as you might be. I mean, even people who are just listeners can go to PodCamps. They can meet the people that, you know, from their areas. If you, even if you're not into podcasting or you're just into social media or something else like that, the idea of going to a meetup and actually pressing the flesh and shaking the hands of the person that you've been talking to on Twitter for the past 4 or 5 years is crazy. Another fun thing in this vein is I actually got to meet Norbert Davis of the Totally Cool Tech podcast this past year. I believe it was in October that, like I said, that everything's been kind of blended together. I think it was in October. Yeah, it was October. It was right after PodCamp Philly. Norbert and his family came to visit the area, and Norbert drove up to see me. We had some dinner at Temple, and it was just unbelievable to actually be able to shake the hands of the man that I've been talking to for, you know, 4 or 5 years, and it was just crazy. So that's what a PodCamp is. It allows you to pull the local people in to something that's that awesome. So, you know, that's why I wanted to talk about it. 2010 also had a really cool theme running through it. It was about breaking conceptions, breaking my personal conceptions of things. You know, a lot of people have they're set in their ways about certain things. You know, Apple is this, Microsoft is that, Unix is good, Linux is bad. I mean, you know, there's all different kinds of things that people can come out with and say, and you know your own little prejudices, if you want to use that word one way or another. And people are quite well versed in mine. And the funny thing is, the first thing up there is, you know, I like tea, but it's kind of like a passing friendship. It's like, you know what? Okay, I can enjoy you from time to time, but this past year I've actually gotten into good tea, loose tea again. I used to drink oolong tea loose that we bought in Chinatown in Philadelphia, and I loved it, and it lasted for a little while, but I had never gotten back into it. And I had the chance to actually review the Village Tea Company's Cherry Rooibos. I had never heard of rooibos before until I actually got a chance to review this, and it was really, really, really insane. It was such a different flavor from any of the other teas, even though it's not an official tea. It's actually a red bush that grows in South Africa, and as soon as I found out that it was grew in South Africa, we actually have a professor in my department who's from South Africa, and I asked her a little bit about it, and she gave me some rooibos direct from South Africa, and it was just this horizon-broadening experience that was really cool and I wanted to share with everybody. The next thing that we have up here is actually the article that I just published earlier today. If you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, you know how I feel about single-serving coffee makers. I am not a fan of the Keurig. I've been served a bunch of different cups of coffee from Keurigs. I don't own one myself. And, you know, it's never been a machine where I could actually justify buying it. I've never had a good cup of coffee out of a Keurig. I don't know what it is. I'm not into flavored coffees, and that's another one we're going to talk about in just a little bit. But I was very surprised when the fine folks at Kraft, or Tassimo in this case, actually sent me a Tassimo BrewBot to review. They sent me a T20 unit. It's made by Bosch, and I got a chance to put this thing through its paces over the holidays. And here is what I found. I would highly suggest you head on over to the article. But when I first opened it up, there were two packages of coffee in there. And each one had roughly either 8 to 16 servings in it. The first one was Gevalia coffee. And I've had it before. It's usually a little bit bitter. And, you know, it was a little bit bitter. And it was a good cup of coffee. It was just a very dark roasted coffee. And it was good. But it wasn't anything to write home about. It wasn't anything that I'd say, you know what, throw everything aside, I'm going to get this machine. But what really kind of set the tone is they said they had a cappuccino pack, and it was from Starbucks. Tassimo is the only place you can go to get a single-serving coffee maker that actually uses Starbucks-branded products. So I was interested. It's like, okay, you know, Starbucks isn't going to slap their name on something that's not at least decent. And they had cappuccino there. And the problem here is every other time I've ever had cappuccino from any kind of instant source, any kind of source that promised me a quick cappuccino, it has been horrible. I mean, god-awful. There has never been a time where I've had something that was either cappuccino flavored or a quick version of a cappuccino that ever even held a candle to the real cappuccino, where you sit upstairs in my kitchen and I make the espresso, I froth the milk, and I do all that, and you put it together, and it is a labor of love, but it takes a little while. So you came to understand exactly what that would take. Now, here is this package coming out of the Tassimo box that had, it was not a cappuccino flavor. It said it was a real cappuccino. I was like, okay, well, the first pod that I'm supposed to do, now the Tassimo BrewBot actually uses these tiny little tea discs. So you put it on there, you hit the button. There is honestly one switch and one button. That's all you need. You turn the switch on. When the light goes green, you hit the button and it goes. So I said, all right, this says espresso. Let's see if it actually makes an espresso. So I put it in there, and I was firmly set in my ways that I was sure that this was not going to create an espresso. And I will be, I don't know what I can say on a kid-friendly show, but I'm sitting there, and I will be damned if it did not actually produce an espresso. It poured it out. It pressurized the whole unit. It pushed out an espresso that looked like I had made it upstairs. It did not taste exactly the same as what I would make upstairs, but it was a different flavor. No problem. It was a little bit stronger, a little bit bolder, but it was a Starbucks espresso, which tasted better than the Starbucks in a lot of the different stores that I go to. And usually if I go to a Starbucks, the only thing I'm buying is espresso, either a single, double, or triple if it's a bad day. You know what I mean? So I know espresso from Starbucks in the general area, and this was actually better than most. I'd say roughly 70% of the Starbucks in the area can't produce a decent espresso. So this, I'm sitting there, I'm going, this is okay. Well, we'll see exactly what happens. Then the next thing, it had a milk container where you put the tea discs up there that actually had creamer in it. And I was like, okay, well, you know, it's probably just going to heat it up and add it in there. And I will be damned if that thing did not froth the creamer and produce what can only be described as an actual cappuccino. I'm sitting there looking at it in the clear see-through Bodum glass that I have. I have these wonderful double-walled glass drinking glass sets from Bodum. I have two larger size ones, and I have two espresso Demitas glasses. And they're perfect for looking at coffee. And I'm looking at it, and it says, you know, it is a perfectly mixed cappuccino. In the top, the crema is around the outside. There's a perfect ring of crema around the outside, and there is a dollop of frothed milk right in the center. I tried it, and it is one of the better cappuccinos I have had in a while. And that's including some of the ones that I make. Like, if I don't do it right, it doesn't come out right. And that's, you know, the kind of accountability that you expect to have when you're doing something that's a labor of love. But this thing creates a really good cappuccino. And then to move beyond that, it has a whole bunch of other different stuff that I haven't even gotten a chance to try out. Like, I haven't tried the tea and I haven't tried the hot cocoa, but supposedly it produces a wonderful hot cocoa. And I started sharing the coffees with some of my friends and had what I'm calling my crack response team come over, the people that I know who love coffee. And my crack coffee testing squad came over, and a couple of my close friends actually had the coffee, and they all declared it the Tassimo Brewbotta Capital Fellow. And they basically said that, you know, this machine was sold. they wanted to get one of these things. And I told them, you know, hey, hold up. We're going to be giving one away on the show. Who knows? It's going to be all kinds of well and good. But the thing that sold everybody was how quick that it made a decent cup of coffee. And it literally makes a normal cup of coffee in under a minute. So if you are heading downstairs to let the dog out, you can flip the switch, turn the thing on, and if you have kids, you know every second in the morning is precious. Unfortunately, there is no time for me to make a cappuccino in the morning. There's no time for me to actually make a good espresso in the morning because I can't grind the beans at that point. So, I mean, if I'm going to make a perfect espresso, I cannot do it unless I have this machine. So, and my one friend actually came out and said it. He says, look, this isn't going to replace your everyday habit. And I could have told him that. He's like, you know, I love the French press. I love all these other different ways of making coffee. He says, what this is going to do is replace those mornings where you're stopping on the way in for a cup of coffee. And I do that periodically. It's like, you know, you stop at Dunkin' Donuts, you'll stop at Starbucks, and the price point of the packages, which is roughly $7.99 for 16 discs of regular coffee. If you're getting the cappuccino ones, it's $10.99 for 8 servings. And they're not cheap, but the thing is that they're less than half the price of what you would be paying if you stopped for coffee. And looking at it in that light, I was like, you know what? That is really astounding. And It's kind of funny because everybody I talk to about this unit and I show how it works and everything, they're all sold on it. And they're like, you know, the Keurig might at this point have the advantage because they're in every supermarket out there. And the only place that I can find around here to buy T-discs is unfortunately Target. And every time we go into Target, we end up spending way more money than we have to. But, you know, if we do quick surgical strikes, I'm pretty sure we can get the T-discs. And you can order them online from Tassimo Direct. And, you know, they have all this stuff. They have 40 different flavors, supposedly, and there's a whole bunch of different types of beverages that you can get. The problem is with Keurig, they have over 200 flavors. They also have the one thing that I would love to have from a Tassimo. They have a refillable cartridge to where I could use my home roasted coffee and put it in a Keurig. The only thing is, I know, without a shadow of a doubt, that the Keurig would not produce a good cup of coffee with it. So, you know, by my standards, I have never, like I said already, but still, the funny thing about this is I'm pretty sure that if I found a way to actually manufacture my own refillable T-discs and do it in such a way where I'd be happy with it, I'm pretty sure that actually come out doing pretty good. The funny thing about the T-discs is each one actually has a barcode in the top of it that tells the machine how to brew it. So there's some engineering struggles that have to be overtaken, and hopefully Kraft and Bosch and Tassimo will all get together and say, hey, you know what, I think it's been clamoring for it. There's over 10,000 requests for it on Tassimo's bulletin board, so I'm hoping that they will eventually do it. I would plead with them, please, this will be the perfect machine if I have the ability to shove my own coffee into it. I will continue to buy your other T-discs. It's just I wish to have the ability to use my own specialty coffees in there when I want to, you know what I mean? Other than that, it's a fantastic coffee machine, so I would highly suggest you head on over to caffeination.com and read the review and tell me what you think of it. All right, now we're moving on to the next little thing that one completely blew my preconceived notion. The next thing actually did the same thing, but in a slightly different way. This was actually a Starbucks coffee that was sent to me for a review, and this is the Starbucks Natural Fusions flavors, the vanilla, the cinnamon, and the caramel, or caramel if you're fancy, but I do not like flavored coffees. If you ask pretty much anybody I know, they all understand that I do not like flavored coffees. They won't give me flavored coffee unless that's the only thing in the house. And because basically they don't want to hear me complain. And the people I know who are not really into coffee happen to like flavored coffees. And I'm perfectly fine letting them exist in their own little world where, you know, they don't understand that coffee's supposed to taste good without all the extra added junk. However, I have been known to add cinnamon to coffee. And I have been known to add vanilla extract or a vanilla bean sitting in there. I've never dropped caramel in there, but I never thought to. Now, the thing that sets apart the Starbucks Natural Fusions is the fact that they're not using artificial flavorings. I can taste the chemicals when you're handing me a French vanilla cup of coffee. It's not French vanilla. It's what some goofball in a lab thought tasted like French vanilla. There's a chemical overtone to it that after I started drinking really good coffee, I could never get past that. So Beyond that, the Starbucks actually did what I was doing, except they did it at the time when something was ground. They created these three different flavors, and my favorite by far was the Starbucks Natural Fusions Vanilla. It was so sweet without being sweet that without sugar, I was able to serve this to all of my crack coffee support team, or whatever I'm deciding to call it at this sentence, and every one of them loved it. And I have people on this team who drink like heaps of sugar and heaps of cream. You know, these are the normal, everyday salt of the earth kind of coffee drinkers who, you know, turn their nose up when I start talking about a, you know, single varietal and estate grown coffee. They roll their eyes when I start talking about roasting my own. And they loved this. I loved this. I was so taken aback by it, and it was just unbelievable. So I've seen this in Target, I've seen this in supermarkets, so if you have a chance, I would highly suggest you end up trying the Starbucks Natural Fusions Vanilla, Cinnamon, or Caramel. And then the last thing that I wanted to talk about is probably my geekiest coffee thing of the year, a coffee pot that understands me, the Primula Speak and Brew. This is a coffee pot that you can talk to. You hit a button on it, it says set the clock or set the coffee brewing time. You say set the coffee brewing time, it says say the time in AM or PM. You tell it the time, and it just does it. I had my son do it. My son can set the coffee brewing time on this thing. It's fairly good at understanding the natural human speech, which is kind of cool and kind of rare. The only thing was there was no way to hit the button and say coffee now and grumble like you would in the morning. However, there is a start and stop button, so that does fix that. And the other thing is that it actually brewed a surprisingly good cup of coffee for what it was. It's the same price point as like a Cuisinart grind and brew or something like that. And I have so many coffee makers in the house right now that my wife is saying, okay, if you keep accepting these review units, what are you going to do? I said, well, either open up a Starbucks in the basement or, you know, I guess I'm going to have to start giving them away. Who knows? But we haven't gotten that point yet. Not quite. But, you know, I still have an office that I need to have a good coffee maker in. So who knows what machine's going to head there next. But beyond all that, the Primula Speak and Brew was just such a cool thing, and the funny thing is, apparently there are not a lot of people who ended up reviewing it, because a lot of people who had issues with the unit ended up talking to me, and I actually, through the PR agency that actually talked to me, I relayed these problems and concerns back to the company, and a lot of action seemed to have been taken. It was really cool being in that role and actually referring people to the proper channels to where they're supposed to talk to people. And beyond that, it was cool because I got to, like, I'm always giving critique on something. There's always something that's like, you know, hey, if you did this a little bit better, it might work. And the funny thing is, when I started talking to the PR people, they put me in touch with people at Primula who were dealing with engineering questions. So who knows if there are any of my suggestions and tweaks are going to make it out into anything. But it was always nice to at least be listened to, and that's what that was. And that about wraps up the year in Rewind. If you have a favorite memory from this past year, hey, feel free to add it in under the episode, or email me at caffeination@gmail.com or Paul at caffeination.com. We have two little bits of caffeinated goodness, and then we're going to send you out on your way, and so you can go out and be awesome to, or be excellent, rather, to each other. 12 awesome coffee mugs. Thanks, Mass, for this one. This is a story I think we've talked about before, but it's from over at Toxel.com, and it lists a bunch of unique and interesting coffee mugs. By far, my favorite here is one that I would never actually be able to use. It was it's a coffee mug that is called the Zero Gravity coffee mug. It basically sits entirely on its one side, and no matter what you do, it balances. So I thought that was cool, but unfortunately I'm a very clumsy person, so that wouldn't work out. They also have the Ring coffee mug. It looks like you're wearing a giant fake wedding ring. And another one of my favorites is the Cookie mug. It's a mug that has an extended chamber where the handle would normally be, where milk and whatever else you're dipping things into can sit, so that a large form factor cookie can fit in perfectly well. This is the kind of design decisions that people need to make, all right? All right, and then the last little story that we got for you here in the Rewind Janus edition here is the spilled coffee in a 777 cockpit leads to an inadvertent hijack warning. FAA mandated sippy cups look likely. That's the title that they have over at Engadget. I like my title a lot better. Coffee tries to hijack a plane all by itself. So, yeah, it would work better if I hadn't flubbed through it, but you know what I mean. A pilot scalded himself with coffee. It splashed onto one of the units they have in the exceedingly complex cockpit, and it started sending out all kinds of warning and distress signals, one of which was that the plane had been hijacked. And apparently all that had really happened was that he tipped over his grande into the console. Bad things happened, and they had to revert the plane back to its city of origin from Chicago instead of heading to Frankfurt, and everybody had to get a flight the next day. So if you're ever on a plane and you hear a code 7500, that means the plane is not in good condition and supposedly hijacked, or somebody ordered a latte and it didn't turn out too well. All right, now you're probably wondering what we're going to do in the future. I already talked to you about a couple of other things. There's also going to be a new venture that we're starting. I'm not sure if it's going to just be a blog or if it's just going to be a podcast, but it's going to be a design critique blog at this point. There might end up being podcast components, but I've done enough presentations and done enough consulting with different people about design things that I wanted to be able to share my particular brand of honesty with other people in blog form. And it's not always going to relate to geekery. It's not always going to relate to coffee. So I wanted to have its own place for it. So we're going to launch it the same day that the Caffeination launched, because I've had a couple other things that I've tried. In the meantime, after I launched the Caffeination, I had Boilerplate.com for a while, and that didn't work out too well. I had the Cruftcast, and that hasn't worked out as well as I thought it would. So since I had luck starting something on January 9th, I'm going to start another thing on January 9th. We're going to see where this goes. I'm not tipping the hat to the name yet, but we're going to be posting up a show or something on that date, so it's going to direct people over to what we're doing there, too. And remember, you also need to come back to find out how you can win your very own Tassimo Brewbot. All right, thank you ever so much for listening for not only this episode, for any of the other episodes. Thank you for reading all the different posts that we put out. And thank you for participating in the wonder that is the Caffeination family. So thank you ever so much, and stay caffeinated, people.